China's increasingly muscular stance in the South China Sea leapt to the top of the agenda for Foreign Minister Julie Bishop yesterday when she held talks with her Chinese counterparts in Beijing. Her visit coincided with reports that Beijing had deployed missiles on a disputed South China Sea island. Julie Bishop was candid about the situation when she met with her counterpart Wang Yi, warning Beijing against militarising the islands at a time of growing regional instability. The alleged missile deployment follows the appearance of satellite images reportedly showing two sets of eight missiles on the disputed Woody Island. China says they're building lighthouses, not missiles, though the minister did not confirm or deny that missiles have been deployed and has accused the Western media of creating news. Paul Monk is a China expert and former defence intelligence analyst. Paul Monk, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hey, good morning, Fran. How are
you? Lighthouses, Paul, that's what China says they're building on the islands. Is it all that innocent, do you think?
No, it clearly isn't. My understanding of what Wang Yi and Hong Lei have said out of Beijing is not quite that they're not putting missiles in place, but that that is a minor detail and that the bulk of what they're doing is infrastructure that serves safety and monitoring purposes. And in some respects, that may be true, but it's avoiding the issue. The issue is, of course, are they creating facts on the ground and slowly developing a situation in which they can militarily defend those artificial islands, or in the case of Woody Island, natural islands, by way of advancing their extraordinary claim that the whole of the South China Sea, for practical purposes, is Chinese territorial waters. Well, everybody else says either that parts of it are their own claim, other littoral states, or that in general the South China Sea is international waters.
So the question is, are they, and what do you think, are they doing that? We've seen a build-up. This is not the first deployment of military technology. We've seen photos of Chinese fighter jets landing on the new runways there. What is China doing, in your view?
I don't think there's any question that what China is doing is little by little exerting de facto control over these atolls in the belief that none of the other littoral states has the means or the gumption to directly challenge them, and that the United States, at least under President Obama, is disinclined to engage in a direct confrontation. So they think, as long as we keep saying, "Oh, look, we want to negotiate this, and we're just doing what's natural and what's within our rights," but create facts on the ground that de facto exert that control, then nobody's seriously going to stop them. And that's part of a broader agenda that needs to be understood. You know, this is of long standing. China has been slowly moving into the South China Sea for decades. They used to monitor it 24 years ago in defence intelligence. This is not something new. It's not something improvised. It's a long-range, quite deliberate program.
Okay, and it's a deliberate assertion of its role in the world. And as you say, China says, well, they do it in the knowledge no one's going to stop them, and no one has stopped them. So what is China's specific aim here in terms of this territorial dispute? How far will Beijing go, and what is the end game for China?
Well, I think, as with most powers, even relatively small powers, China will go as far as it can, so long as it thinks there's no real pushback. And given China's specific size and throw weight, there hasn't been much pushback, because everybody's thinking, surely they'll stop. Surely they won't go too far. Surely we can work this out. Everybody wants to work this out. Nobody wants a war with China. But it's not clear that they're going to stop. After all, if you consider that for many years, all of China's neighbours have been requesting that China slow down its growth in defence expenditure, that it become more transparent in its aims and capabilities, and it's not doing that.
So nobody has made it stop. Our Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, said before she left she was going to hold Chinese President Xi to his statement that China doesn't intend to militarise the island. And she said she was going to restate Australia's concern about China's assertiveness. So presumably she's done that, and she said they were candid talks. But to what end? I mean, was that to try and really suggest that really Australia could affect change in China's behaviour? Or do you think she was going now to do that to absorb some of the diplomatic blowback before Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's official visit to China as Prime Minister?
I'm not sure whether they had thought that were two steps ahead in absorbing blowback, but that Australia could in any unilateral way alter China's behaviour in these circumstances is implausible. What we're seeing, of course, is that the US, China, Japan and other regional states, with all with their growing concerns about China's assertiveness and its unresponsiveness to these concerns on our part, have been pulling together. That's why Julie Bishop went to Tokyo. That's why there is talk of us buying Japanese submarines. That's why Obama sent, naval vessels into waters that China claims are its own, but which the rest of us regard as international waters. So this is a developing story. It's not going to end tomorrow, and it's certainly not going to end because of some bland or deflecting statement out of Beijing. We need more serious engagement, and we haven't got there yet.
Paul Monk, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome, friend.
Paul Monk is a China expert and former defence intelligence analyst.